So in Luke chapter 2, we have three stories that that he tells around the early years of the life of Jesus. And the first story is very well known. It's the one of the shepherds. And then the second story is one that we don't perhaps read quite so often, but it's just as important, I think, than the stories of the shepherd and the wise men. And that's of Simeon and Anna, who were in the temple at the same time that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus there. And then the third story that he tells is the one of where Jesus was at the temple. And the thing that sort of links the first two stories together, which are very much part of the Nativity Christmas stories, is the shepherds and Simeon and Anna, because all of those experience the joy of the Lord. And the lighting of the third candle is around remembering the joy of the Lord. So I'll just think very briefly about the shepherds. The shepherds, we know, were just ordinary working people. They were perhaps almost outcasts by a lot of people. They were most probably illiterate. They worked at nights where no one knew them. They never had time to observe all the Jewish regulations and rules, so had a little time for religious things, and just got on with life as a shepherd looking after the sheep. And I'm sure they did an excellent job looking after the sheep, but had no expectations of anything that was religious or anything to do with society. And then you've got Simeon, and we really know very little about him, really. We just know that he had been given this promise by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. Some people think that means he was an old man, but we don't really know how old he was. But he had been given this promise, and he believed in the promise, and he kept it close to his heart. And it's interesting, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was working in him, restoring him. And then we have the little bit about Anna, who was a prophetess. And Anna, we know, has direct links to the seventh son of Jacob, the son that was called Asher, that the son that was often called the forgotten son, the forgotten tribe. And so I just found it fascinating that you had in this story of Luke, you had shepherds who had most probably no religious thoughts whatsoever, who were on the lower end of civilization, who lived rough. You had Simeon, who was filled with the Spirit and had been given a promise by God, but had no idea when that promise was going to be fulfilled. And then you had Anna, who was respected by many for her wise thoughts. And people would go to her for wisdom and for prophecy and for advice. From a tribe who had no real clout, if for want of a better word, within the Israel society, the forgotten tribe. And of course, amongst all of this was a time when the Jews were submitted to Roman authority. It was not a good time for the Jews, as they had to abide by the Romans and what they instructed them to do and how they instructed them to do it. Jerusalem was not their own town. It was ruled by the Romans. And then on the other half we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had made so many rules and regulations in following the Jewish faith that it became almost impossible for people to do that. And a lot of people had perhaps forsaken the time. And as I think about Bethlehem in those days, in that first Christmas when our Saviour was born, you can't help but think, can you, of what's going on there now? And so I looked at, there's two main charities that I looked at. I'm sure there's others, but there's two main charities that I looked at that are working in Gaza at the moment. Called, one of them's called Open Doors, and the other is called Embrace. And the more you read, the more your heart goes out. And I can't understand, and I struggle with the concept that this place where my Lord was born is in such uproar. So Open the Doors says this, and I'm just going to read their what they're saying, that we how to pray and what to pray about. So I'm just going to read that, and then we'll just have a few minutes of silent prayer when perhaps we can remember Bethlehem and the place where our Christ was born and how it is today. So Open Doors prayer is, they ask us to pray for wisdom to know how to comfort the people around. They ask to pray for wisdom to know how to pray, because we know that one side are saying one thing and another side are saying the other, and it's very difficult to work out which is right. They ask for wisdom and grace to be God's messengers, serving his kingdom. And they ask that their faith may not be weakened because of their anger of what's going on around. They say, pray with us that God will use all those leaders whose decisions in these days will determine the fate of so many people. And pray that our loving God will bring disaster to this end. And I just think that as we think of Bethlehem, and as we think of Simeon and Anna going into the temple in Jerusalem, where they had took baby Jesus, let's just pause for a minute and think of Gaza and all that's going on there. And in our minds, let's just think of some of those things that we've been asked to pray for. So let's just pray for a minute or two. So if we go back to our story, Simeon in the temple, then when he sees the parents with the child Jesus, took him in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which has been prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And I just thought about the joy that we have as Christians, because we have that light of salvation in our hearts, and the joy that the shepherds must have experienced when they listened to the angel and saw the baby Jesus. The English dictionary for the word joy is this: it's a state of mind and heart evoked by success and well-being. And as we think about Christmas Day and the excitement of the children, and perhaps excitement for adults as well, as we receive and unwrap our gifts, there is that joy, isn't there, that's been evoked by a state of mind because of success. Someone's actually brought me something that I wanted and I can use, and I'm happy and joyful. However, we know from experience, don't we, that that joy is very short-lived. In some cases, it only may be a few minutes and something else happens and the joy is taken away. But that's not the joy of the Lord. It's not here and like the wind that comes and goes. The joy of the Lord stays with us. the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. You're impressed, aren't you? I can tell. That I've even got the book, let alone can read it. Says this: the joy of the Lord is a consistent mark of the individual to those around them. The joy of the Lord is a consistent mark. It's not just something that you receive because you've been successful, or because you're feeling good, or because someone's done something nice to you. The joy of the Lord is the consistent mark. And we can see from the story of the shepherds that the joy was a consistent mark, in that once they had been to see the baby Jesus, they then went on and shared with everyone the good news of salvation. And we can see that that's what happened with Simeon. When he saw that child, he knew that that was the Messiah. And the joy of the Lord that he had had continued with him. And the same with Anna. She just went into the temple, which was something that she normally did every day. And she knew instantly the joy of the Lord. And there are other people, aren't there, in the Word of God that talk about the joy of the Lord. When Paul was in prison, he was able to sing, not because he was happy and glad and had wonderful circumstances, but because he knew the joy of the Lord. When the woman at the well was confronted by Jesus, she went away rejoicing, not because he changed anything, but because she'd experienced the joy of the Lord through his message of salvation. Jill Biscoe wrote this poem. It's called Joy is Jesus. Joy is Jesus wrapped in swaddling bands. Joy is Jesus in Mary's loving hands. Joy is Jesus making sorrow sing, mending deepest heartaches. What a gift to bring. From the highest heavens, knowing well his plan, God laid him in our hostile arms, the precious Son of Man. Knowing all before him, the crib, the cross, the cost, he came to die at Calvary and seek and save the lost. That's you and me and everyone who's living on the earth. That's men and women who need and want new birth. That's those of us with broken hearts and those who celebrate. It's those of us who love and laugh and those of us who hate. If empty was the manger and empty was the cross, if Jesus' tomb was occupied, then all of us are lost. But here lies heaven's treasure, God's precious, dearest prize. In him will all our future hopes and dreams be realized. So may his joy now fill you, and the peace of God be known, till we celebrate our Christmases around our Saviour's throne. So the joy of the Lord confirms that nothing is lost, and it leads on for us to do nothing but to worship and rejoice and praise in the hope that we have in our Saviour. So we come together at Christmas in anticipation and thanks for all that God has done and all that he is going to do, because we know that just as Simeon knew through the power of his Spirit, there are things God is going to show us, things God is going to tell us, things that God is going to lead us into. And some of them we may not be comfortable with, and some of them we may be overjoyed with, but we know the joy of the Lord is with and in it all. See, I think that the thing that struck me about Simeon was that he believed. He never stopped believing. Now, I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell you, when he was told that he was going to see the Messiah and how long He'd been waiting for that promise. And that led me to think about, do we really believe? There's a story, I don't know whether it's true or not, but there's a story about a village that hadn't had rain for a good number of years. And the farmer took his family in and said, right, come on then, we're all going to pray that God will send the rain. So they all gathered round and prayed in their house that God would send the rain, because they hadn't had rain for such a long time and they needed rain for their crops to grow. And after a time of prayer, the farmer got up and his daughter said, well, where are you going? And he said, well, I'm going to go out to farm. And she said, can I come? And so he said, yes. So he went out and she followed. And she followed with an umbrella up. And he said to her, but it's evening, it's not hot. Why have you got an umbrella? And her answer was, because we prayed that it would rain. Do we believe that that's what will happen? Do we believe in the promises that God has given us? Before we sing our song, Joy to the World, let me read you this psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. May we never forget that, especially this Christmas time.